Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drew.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, we're back.
We're back. Yes, you've been busy with your cricket all last week. Sorry, listeners.
It's my fault.
A couple guys did text me during the week saying, where are you? Where's your show? Is your show up? And I said, no.
Well, dedication to the course, Phil. I've got a day off today. 9 days of umpiring in the last 10.
They must be sick of you.
No, they're all saying, can you do it, you know, all the time. Anyway, 9 in the last 10, and another couple tomorrow. Just to quickly fill into our listeners, they've both been, apart from the Barossa and Light commitments, they've both been country carnivals. One was basically orientated around Grange, which with
that
the weather conditions.
That was a kid's one, though, wasn't it?
No.
It was an adult.
That was basically around Grange, so you got lovely sea breezes. And this one is the Australian over 65s in the Barossa.
They'd take it pretty easy, wouldn't they? They wouldn't
tell you
give
what,
her stuff, would they?
The very, very opposite. I have never heard more aggression. I don't know whether it's because they're having their second childhood, as it were, but they're not only aggressive, they with the opposition, they have a go at each other if they miss field.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah, they're not taking the right pills.
it's very enjoyable. Anyway, lawn bowls.
Lawn bowls. I'll quickly run through last week's games, the week before last, Rick. Okay, so we're a couple of weeks down here with the local bowls. I know
if anyone can catch up, you can.
Our listeners really wait for this. So Mount Pleasant played Newry, and you would have thought Newry win, and they did, 65-96. Brownie and Gropey for Newry, Brenton Brown and Robbie Grope, both won by 17 shots over their opponents. So Kapunda played Yidunda and only just scraped home. I must admit Kapunda had a fair few out that week. Aaron Jones over Brett Rowland, 16 over Brett Rowland. Brett's our valued listener that we have.
Yes.
The one and only, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Angaston played Tanunda, and Tanunda having a year to forget, 136 versus 64. John O'Voigt, 43 over Timmy Leish, 15.
Sounds as though they could do with recruiting some
players. Could do a big recruiting drive, Tanunda, I reckon. Freeling, they drew with Lindock, which was a bit of an upset because Freeling had been a bit up and down and they lost players to Lindock during the year. And lo and behold, Shane Marsland, who was an ex-Freeling player, 9 win over Alex Bryan. Sorry, almost said Aaron Ayres, but of course we know Aaron Ayres. He's working a vintage. He's on the big bucks at the moment.
Is he just let him know we've run out of red wine again?
Yeah, the wine's gone, Ayres. So top it up. And, that was our midweek. That's right. I'll quickly run through our midweek last week. Lost to West Lakes 123-81. Our rink was up by 3. The only rink up, Rick. So that was all good. So quickly, which was the week before, Phil Vomard from Kapunda, Rick.
Oh, yes.
Very long-standing player there. 1,000 games last Saturday. I was going to mention it before because I had a bit of a show on at the Kapunda Bowling Club club rooms for him.
Well,
Did we get the invite, Rick? I didn't get mine.
No, I didn't either.
Brian Grant, send the invite a bit earlier next time.
Anyway, there's a very, very fine photograph of him on the back page of the Mighty Bunyip.
Oh, yeah.
Receiving his
like a certificate.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And a good club man. And, he's been around forever and a day, Phil. So congratulations. So this week,
our good listeners might go out, if they don't normally get the bunyip, they might go out and get it and they could read Stumpy short shots as well.
If they take it to the toilet and read it on the toilet. That's all I can say.
Thanks.
This week's matches was Newry versus Freeling at the lovely Newry, picturesque Newry ground.
Oh, beautiful.
107 Newry, Freeling 88. Robbie Gropey, mate of mine. 27-15 up over Rod Seen. Mount Pleasant played Angaston at Mount Pleasant. They had a game to forget. Mount Pleasant not going too bad, not bottom, but third to bottom.
Yep.
52, Angaston 133, with Mark Hambley playing John O'Voigt, who must have been in a bit of fine form. 11-41, Rick. That's a 30-shot loss. Imagine losing what I did this year. one of the midweek games, so I know what it feels like. Lindock, the game of the round, Lindock versus Kapunda, 97 Lindock, Kapunda 84. Harry Sykes, 32, Adrian Green, 19. But I must say, Greeny did have COVID all week and evidently was still a bit off colour, not making any excuses for Greeny because he wouldn't. He's not that sort of guy. But he'd been crook all week. Yadunda played the lowly Tanunda, who I believe are looking for recruits for next year. They'll look far and wide. So
I hear that their tentacles are stretched.
Yeah. Yep, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Yadunda.
To even outside the Barossa Valley,
really?
I've heard. Yeah.
Outside. Yadunda.
They've got plenty of money as well.
Yadunda, 102 versus Tanunda, 85. And my old mate Aaron Jones, he's been in fine form this year, 36-15 over Neil Stewart.
Oh, right.
He's one of Tanunda's better bowlers down there, young Neil. He's in the singles final, they might have already played it. Quickly, Rick.
Yes.
Sunday was Don's breakfast up at Newry. Received the invite to go up there to my old club, Newry. Had a fairly good day, all of our team. Our team was young Swifty.
Taylor?
Yeah, we called him Taylor. That's his sister. Yeah, Swifty, myself, Lockie Fuss from Newry and Ross McConnell from Salisbury. Chris Swift is his name. So a young bowler, 29, first year of bowls, going really well. And we ended up second, Rick. Equal first, equal second, equal third. And they had to do a count back. We ended up second. Edwardstown rink won it with Stewie Forbes added to that rink. They were the winners, and Riverton were third. A fantastic day up at the Newry Bowling Club.
Walked away with money again.
In the money. In the money up there. And
totally nothing to do with bowls, but Taylor Swift.
Yes.
I found out the other day who she was named after. Isn't this amazing? She's obviously come from a very musical background because she was named after James Taylor. So our good listeners, they'll probably know James Taylor.
Yep.
So
I even have heard of him.
Oh, right. Well, there you go. Back to
the
bowls.
That's about all of the bowls. We go out to Gawler this Wednesday, so will I see you there, Rick?
You will indeed.
No, you're umpiring cricket.
Next Wednesday.
This Wednesday. Like tomorrow.
No, thank God I'm...
Now... Wow-wee.
Did you see the headline in the paper?
No.
You didn't?
What was it?
Redback's back on the bottom.
Well, that's where they always are. Did they get off the bottom?
I don't know. Only on... How pathetic can that be? I mean, how can you play a Sheffield Shield game on Adelaide Oval, win the toss and bat, and you're 3-0?
I heard that. I was driving into town. I can't remember who it was. Doesn't matter who it was. And they said, you know, the Redbacks are 3-0. I said, what? Really?
What amazes me is, I mean, I know these ex-cricketers and journos have to make a living by making outrageous statements, but Ricky Ponting, who is one of the great cricketers of ever, right, he's jumped on the Fraser McGurk bandwagon and said he should be promoted like Warner out of the one-day Big Bash, put him into Test cricket. He's out for a duck in the first, but he went well in the second.
Oh, there you go.
He made one.
Oh.
I mean, he's just a don't stop me. Anyway, comfortably beaten by Queensland.
Seven wickets.
Seven odd wickets indeed. Now, while we're on that, let's go to the local cricket because that's very exciting.
Yes, I've missed out the last couple of weeks now. Yep. I've got behind a bit.
Well, good listeners, we're into the last round. Day one has been completed of the two-day round. And as it sits, the premiership table is incredibly interesting. We don't need to go through the whole lot. Sandy Creek and South Gawler are both on 95 points at the top.
Sandy Creek?
Well, that's the interesting... Gee, Phil, you're all over your cricket.
Well, South Gawler are undefeated, I believe.
Correct.
How can they be top?
Well, they can't be top. Actually, they're not top at the moment on percentage. The strange thing is, and I mean, it's no one's fault. But the reason Sandy Creek have been able to manage to get equal points,
yep,
even though they've lost, I think it's two or three games, is that they've won a couple outright. There's two factors. One,
yep,
the size of the Sandy Creek Oval and Jamie Diner, who scores at the rate of anything because he smashes the ball, and that's enabled them to pick up outright points when they've... Now, the funny thing is that they are slightly ahead of the unbeaten South Gawler on percentage.
Yep.
Now, without going into the whole details, so if South Gawler and Sandy Creek both win on the first innings,
yep,
which... Look, well, South Gawler are definitely going to. The interesting thing is that Greenock, who are comfortably fourth,
equal
with Anderson. Right. Now, they will make the four because the rest don't count after Sandy Creek, South Gawler, Anderson and Greenock. Now, the interesting thing is that Sandy Creek are all out for 200 against Greenock. So there is a possibility that they may have to play each other again in the
knockout semi-final.
Yeah. Now, yep, for South Gawler to guarantee finishing top, they do need to beat Lindock outright. Now, this, strangely enough, by coincidence, it's the game I'm umpiring. South Gawler, we knew it was going to happen, won the toss and put Lindock in because there's the best chance,
yep,
to create, yep, an outright opportunity. They actually got Lindock out for 161, which is about 100 more than they deserved. I don't know whether it was self-imposed, but South Gawler probably performed as poorly as I've seen them this year.
They
dropped a couple of catches. However, they had 30 overs and they're 3 for 111. So they're going to win on the first innings.
Yep.
The big problem they've got is how long they bat on for,
yeah,
before they declare and try and get,
yeah, Lindock
out.
Yep.
And the second problem is that they probably have to bat on to guess that they're going to get enough runs, because otherwise it could be that they have to, not only do they declare, but
they when they've got go Lindock in,
that's right, and there's, yep, six overs, yep, lost because, yep, there's three. Anyway, so there you go. The only other interesting thing is, it's almost like a repeat except different teams. Top of A2 is equal Gawler Central and Kapunda, both on 95, with Gawler Central a little bit ahead on percentage. Nothing about what I'm about to say is a reflection on Kapunda in any shape or form, but there are a lot of people basically hoping that Gawler Central remain top, because then they'll automatically get promoted,
yep,
to A1 and Lindock will drop down, only because Kapunda have been very reliant on Jack Ryan, the young,
yep,
young fellow opener, who has made more runs than you and I have had hot dinners.
Yep.
And there's another one or two younger players, but they're actually a very, dare I say, experienced, rather. I won't use the word aged, experienced side.
Yep.
Now, the problem is, I've heard, it's basically from a very strong source, that Jack Ryan won't be there next year because, ooh, he's going to go to Adelaide to see if he can make the,
yep,
big time.
Yep.
Now, without him, I don't think Kapunda would be strong enough to,
yeah,
be an A1,
yep,
side. But anyway, time will tell. That is nothing compared with the way the great English cricket team are travelling in India. Hey? 400 run loss.
Well, that's not much, is it?
It isn't really.
Who's coaching them? Dizzy.
Dear me. Now, we won't go through that other than, I think, good listeners, we have got, I think with a little more certainty than Ricky Ponting's prediction about McGuirk, that we have got yet another Indian superstar. If he's not already a superstar, is destined to be. And any apologies for any mispronunciation, but most of you probably haven't heard of Yash Asvi Jay's Well. Now, he is cruising. He's 22 years of age.
Yep.
In the three tests, he's so far made 200 in two of them. But the amazing thing, and this is what some of our good listeners may be fascinated by, his backstory is quite remarkable. And maybe perhaps some of the Redbacks should take a note out of this about if you want dedication and hard work. He was born as fourth of six children. At the age of 10, Phil, he was moved, or wanted to go as well, what's more, yep, to Mumbai to receive a cricket training at the Asgard Maiden Cricket Academy. Now, initially, his parents stitched up that he had accommodation in a dairy shop in return for a bit of work. But he was so dedicated to the cricket training that he finished up getting the flick. He was evicted by the shopkeeper because he wasn't able to do enough work frequently.
Playing cricket.
He was. So, you're ready for this. This is just, I mean, it brings tears to the eyes when you think now he's made two double centuries against the Poms in three tests. So, problem solved. Instead of being able to live in the lollipop shop, he lived in a tent with the groundsman at the Maiden Cricket Academy, where he sold a bit of pan puri, which is a sort of veggie or mashy thing, to make some money. He lived in the tent for 3 years, Phil.
That's where the Redbacks are going wrong. It's got to be.
Well, maybe
put a few tents down there in Adelaide Oval.
Well, that's an idea.
Adelaide Oval number two there.
And maybe we, instead of importing second-rate players, we might get some of our 10-year-old kids down there.
Wouldn't that be good if we had some juniors?
Encourage the juniors. Anyway, that is a magnificent
story.
Yeah,
that is. Unbelievable.
Well, if you didn't...
like that West Indian lad, wasn't it?
Well, Jacob. Same story, but different circumstances. I mean, the kid, I have only seen glimpses of him bat on television. But, I mean, the amazing thing is he makes big scores.
Yeah.
He is actually, in 2019, he was the youngest cricketer ever to score a List A cricket double century. So he doesn't throw the towel in after 100, he keeps going. So
very good. Never heard of him, and I won't try and pronounce that name either. No, I don't think.
Well, it's probably just better to stick with his surname.
I wonder if he's got a nickname. Well. Yeah.
But gee whiz, he's going to be something special.
That's unreal.
So as we're about to close, now this may apply.
Here we go.
This may apply within the sort of ranks of.
Yep. Okay, just hit me with the joke.
With the Paynham Bowling Club, who knows? Tell me, do you know of any fellow selectors suffering from insanity?
Yes.
No. They all seem to enjoy it.
No, I don't know any of them.
No. Now, you had a little joke up your sleeve, didn't you?
Hey? What's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi?
The difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi? I don't know.
Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but Abu Dhabi do.
Oh, listeners, he's on fire today. Anyway, I'm glad we're back. We've enjoyed it. I hope you have. And we'll, until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.